And that's right, we are live right here on Blog Talk Radio for JR Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy the We're on our level NPA. And Melon Mushroom. Gotta love Melon Mushroom. I know I do. A couple of things going on. Luckily, here at Impact Media, we get lucky to the point that we follow two great organizations in the Falcons and the Jaguars, and we report to you guys about those things that we learn from them. And we luck out because certain times during the summer, none of our guys get arrested, none of our guys do anything dumb, they don't get suspended, they don't do stuff like that. It means there's not a whole lot to talk about, but there's a few things I wanted to get into tonight that I feel you guys should need to know between the NFL and some Jaguar-related stuff. Plus, as advertised, I'm going to explain to you guys how the Andrew Luck contract benefits Jaguars more than it does the Colts. It was pretty simple. But just wait till you hear it. It's going to be pretty fun. And, you know, just tons of stuff we're going to get into over the next half hour or so. So buckle in, sit tight. Hopefully you already have your popcorn. Producing note from across the, or from through the glass here that I'm looking. I'm supposed to tell you guys that BattleBots will be on in 58 minutes. Hey, we'll try to get done before then. BattleBots is on, and I'll probably lose a producer to BattleBots here in 58 minutes. So probably do our best to be done by then. But let's just start right. Let's start with some fun stuff. I'm gonna start. Oh, there we go. I'm gonna start here and tell you that Todd Gurley of the LA Rams says that as far as fantasy football goes this year, he should be the top pick in your draft. And the only people that could potentially go above him are Adrian Peterson and Cam Newton. Wow. Somebody ate their Wheaties this morning, right? Wow. The issue with Todd Gurley, and no, for those people that are in fantasy leagues where they face me, this is not my way of downplaying Todd Gurley so that I can pick him. If he's there, I might. Depends on when he's there. But here's my thing. I mean, I have hang-ups about Adrian Peterson. I have hang-ups about Cam Newton. But as far as Todd Gurley, remember, he missed part of the season because he was injured. When he did start up, he had like four or five, six games in a row, I think five, where he was like over 120 yards each time. And then he proceeded to only go over 100 yards one more time the rest of the season. Now, granted, he does play on the Rams, and I'm still confused as to what their actual offense does. One thing it doesn't do is get the ball in the end zone unless he has it. Could be why they did. Just saying. But for Todd Gurley to think he is a top three player in the league, I mean, I applaud his efforts to think he's the best. I can say, as far as fantasy thinking, and you know, maybe the next month or so, we'll get some of the fantasy guys from Turf Talk Pro on, and maybe our own guy Joseph. Maybe we'll get them on to talk a little more fantasy. But as far as running backs go, I think you got to favor people that have produced for an entire season because it's a grind. It's a real big grind. It's kind of why Ezekiel Elliott, I think, should be a lot lower than people expect. It's just it's hard to stay healthy at the running back position for 16 straight weeks, 17 really. So, I mean, if you want to pick Todd Gurley first, more power to you. It's nothing personal to Todd Gurley. Love to have him on the show to explain more on this or talk about sunflowers for all that matters. But kudos to you, Todd Gurley, for making the statement of you're the best. And maybe by season's end, you will be. And maybe you'll end up on my fantasy team. Who knows? Maybe you'll end up on other people's fantasy team. But the takeaway from this is nobody really responded to it. Nobody tried to call his bluff. Nobody tried to say he's out of his mind. So maybe the rest of the league kind of sees something that we haven't quite seen yet. Moving on. The Indianapolis Colts are not having a good offseason for a lot of reasons. Their running back, Robert Turbin, who used to be in Seattle, was arrested for possession of marijuana. Well, that pretty much means the NFL is going to dive into this at which time. When they get into this, they'll be suspended a handful of games. I think it's two for a marijuana bust now. I don't know. They keep changing their mind on it, but that's one more point for the good guys in Jacksonville, and one point taken away from the Colts in Indianapolis. That's one less player. They're going to have to look elsewhere or do something else right there because he's going to miss a couple games for that. Derek Wolfe of the Denver Broncos says that he took less money. He got a good haircut, as he called it, to stay with the Broncos. Basically, taking a pay cut so that he could stay there. They could keep the team together as much as possible, and indirectly called out Von Miller in the process. Every player has their own motivations. Derek Wolfe is to win games and championships, and Von Miller is just to get paid. Nothing wrong with either. I would encourage any player to try to maximize the money the best you can, because tomorrow's not promised in the league or life or anything. But he indirectly called out Von Miller. Von really hasn't responded to this. He's too busy not signing his franchise tag or anything or extension. We'll get into those other franchise tag people in a minute. But Jamie Dukes actually responded, who does some local Atlanta radio. He's also on NFL Network. He doesn't like that Derek Wolfe talked about taking a pay cut to keep the team together and that sort of thing. And it's not personal, Jamie Dukes. I enjoy your media work, especially the stuff you do here in Atlanta. You're a great guy. Did a lot of great stuff. You blocked for Chris Miller, who was on Falcon Zone last week. And you're one of the better offensive linemen in the history of the game. But what does it matter if you agree or disagree, Jamie? I mean, Derek Wolfe has his motivation. His is to try to keep the team together and play the best he can. Von Miller wants to get paid. You can sound off and have your own opinion. That's fine. That's what we do here in the media. But as far as I'm concerned, Jamie, get over it. It's not your fight. It's not your call. Not your contract. Derek Wolfe felt he did what he needed to do to achieve the things he wanted to do. Let him do it. He lived in a free country last time I checked. At least it is to this point. I'm actually going to say kudos to you, Derek Wolfe. Like I said, nothing personal, Von Miller or Jamie Dukes. You're entitled to your opinion and your motivations, but Derek Wolfe saying something about it and saying that he decided to take the haircut, as he called it, stay with the team. Hey, wish y'all the best in the world. And when that doesn't work out, feel free to go to a team that make them win a few more games. Who knows? Next up, Cleveland defensive end Desmond Bryant for his pectoral muscle. They're not sure if he's going to be done for the year, but they do know that it's pretty serious. Wish him the best on his recovery. I mean, Cleveland needs a break at this point, you know. It's really, they need to have a good showing this year. I'm not sure if they will or not, but they need to have a good showing this year, just in the simple fact that the Cavaliers won that championship. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, that takes Cleveland off the slate. Eh, it does a little bit, but it's more pressure on the Browns because football is still the biggest sport. they got a good going and show that they're going in the right direction. I think head coach Hugh Jackson's got them going in a good direction. Time will tell what actually happens from there. Do we have that? That is. As far as the franchise tag tenders and stuff like that, we're going to try our best not to have random in the middle of the show, like it tends to happen. Right, apparently, we couldn't stop that commercial from happening, but kudos to you, and hopefully you're not getting trucked by ping pong playing little kids there, Peyton. We have the franchise tag list here, and we'll kind of go through them real quick as to if we think they're going to sign a long-term deal or if they're going to sign the tenure even. Well, we'll start right there with Von Miller. He would become the highest-paid defensive player. So far, the guaranteed money is the reason why they can't seem to agree. He's the reigning Super Bowl MVP, and the Broncos are treating him like he's an undrafted free agent. I don't get it. I understand Elway likes to play this money ball aspect. I don't know if it has to do with statistics or nothing, but he likes to low ball pay a lot of people so that he can keep more people on the team, keep the team together, and not have to spend as much money. I understand that. That's called business. It's called business. It's one strategy, the way to do it. You know, another strategy, if you want to go the L.A. Lakers. The L.A. Lakers overpaid Kobe Bryant to say thank you for sticking with us all these years and for bringing, what, 4 or 5 titles to us. And, you know, just being the player you are. That's great. The problem is that last contract he signed, absolutely Chinese finger cuffed. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know, stick your finger in either side there. You pull them out. It's the little straw, kind of the straw basket type thing. When you, the harder you pull out, it won't come loose. He finger cuffed the Lakers to where they could draft people because they could afford to pay draft picks, but they couldn't go get free agents, and nobody wanted to come to L.A. because there was no money left. Now that Kobe's gone, suddenly they've been able to sign a couple guys. Not personal Kobe. Not his fault that the Lakers put that deal on the table and said, hey, would you like it? That's why you can't fault Alex Rodriguez. The Texas Rangers were the ones goofy enough to offer the first big contract. The New York Yankees were that goofy to do it the second time. So you're stuck with it. You offer to pay somebody that much money. You can't be mad at them if they sign it. You're the one that did it. Same thing here. John Elway's trying to avoid overpaying. Kind of what you do in the old times for big-time players. But here's why this one sticks out the most. Von Miller realizes that if they tag him this year and he signs it, he plays a year, he tries to do it, we're right back here again next year, they can do it again. Even though the percentage goes up, they would have to pay him like 110% of his salary this year, 120. He would get the upgrade. You can tag people up to like 2 or 3 times, I think. He doesn't want to keep playing for one-year deals that he has no vote whatsoever as to how much money it is. It's like if you sat down with your boss, and your boss said, hey, we'd like to keep you on for a couple more years in the department you're in. We love all the things you did last year. You led all the sales meetings. You topped the charts and all this stuff. And you sit down. And they go, yeah, here's the offer. You qualify into this bracket. Here's the offer. And it's non-negotiable. Either you sign it or you don't. And that's kind of what the franchise tag is. With the franchise tag, they take the average salary of the top 5 players at that position besides the one they're talking to. Kind of why Kirk Cousins is getting $20 million. But Von Miller, if I'm not mistaken, can not sign the franchise tag can actually hold out all the way up to like week 6 or 7, I think, before he would either have to sign it or sit out the entire year. If he sits out the entire year, then the NFL Players Association would actually have the super advantage. It would kind of supersede the Brady situation with the Plategate. It would kind of even that out a little bit in that the Players Association would show our players are with the top defensive player in the league last year, and that's not speculation. That's not my opinion. He was the Super Bowl MVP. When a defensive player is a Super Bowl MVP, hey, he's the best in the game. So right now, he's the best. Which will bring something else in a minute. But Von Miller's already said he's not afraid. He's not going to play under the franchise tag. So if they don't get a deal done, there's a good chance that the reigning Super Bowl MVP and arguably one of the best pass rushers in the last few years is going to sit out a year. If he sits out a year, I believe they can offer the tag to him next year. But if he doesn't take it the second time, I believe he becomes a unrestricted free agent and can go wherever he wants to somebody who will pay him probably twice what he wants at the current moment. So this one's real big because the NFL with the Plategate thing is kind of taken advantage back to their side. So we'll get into that more in a minute. At the same time, this would kind of bring it back a little more even, almost maybe a, I call it 60-40, we'll go 55% in the favor of the Players Association. Good luck to the Denver Broncos on that one. That, to me, is a pretty mess. See. Next up. We'll get into that one in a second. That one's actually a new development. Let's go to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, he's more than likely going to sign the franchise tag. He hadn't already. I believe he did. I believe he signed it faster than they could draw it up because he's not stupid. Kirk Cousins is not only well-educated, he's very normal, smart. Pretty much more than likely the Redskins are going to do this prove-it deal, which is this one-year franchise tag deal. He has another year like he did last year, then he might get the big extension, 3 or 4 years. Right now it's 1 year at $19.9 million, which to me is a little more than I think he's worth, but if he has another year like he did last year, it would actually be a little bit less than he's worth. Like I said, if he has another solid year, they'd be dumb not to re-sign him and put him on a bigger deal than just the one-year deal. But they're kind of waiting. The Redskins have had some quarterback issues over the years. The last great quarterback they had was probably Mark Rippon back in the early 90s, late 80s maybe. So, you know, they're hoping Kirk Cousins is the guy for now or the guy. Let's see. Eric Berry seems like he's going to be playing on the franchise tag this year because the Chiefs and him are very far apart in their negotiations, which is just a crying shame. The comeback player of the year this season. And it's not, I mean, forget his story for a second. Forget that he battled cancer, I believe, and came back and was able to not only play, but play effectively like he used to. I mean, forget that kind of stuff. Just Eric Berry on the field. And all you want to do is franchise tag him? I mean, I thought the Chiefs were a little better than this. So I guess we'll have to see what happens here. It'd be a shame for Eric Berry to be on the unrestricted free agent list. Said nobody but the Chiefs. There are 31 other teams that would hitch their wagon to the Eric Berry train just as fast as they could. Looks like Muhammad Wilkerson is more than likely not going to get a new deal with the Jets. I mean, they got Leonard Williams already on the team. It's more than likely going to be Moe's replacement. But, I mean, that's another shame. Wilkerson still has a ton left in the tank. He's still super good. He's not that old. If he hits the open market, God bless the team that signs him because you're going to be getting a just mauler. you know, Alshon Jeffery in Chicago. I have a lot of family and friends that are Chicago fans, and some of them even in Chicago. So I've kind of reached out up there to hear some things, as well as, you know, get a general consensus from the fans. But also, I've explained this to them. The reason why the Bears and Alshon Jeffery are having trouble kind of getting a long-term deal done is the injury history. He gets dinged up a lot. It's mainly because of how hard he plays. Julio Jones in Atlanta is a lot the same way. I feel like Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns in Jacksonville could be similar. Sometimes you need to dial it back just a little bit. But, you know, they really don't want to give a lot of guaranteed money to Alshon Jeffery and have him get hurt. You know, Allen Hurns signed on the $11 million per year contract. Keenan Allen signed for right at 15. But Alshon Jeffery's the best player they got, so, you know, he'll probably sign the tender, and if they can't figure something out by Friday, he'll probably just sign the tender and possibly be out of town by next year. Who knows? Jermaine Jackson is far apart from the Rams. The Rams just continue to baffle me. They're almost, at least Cleveland has done some things to kind of pick up where they were lacking a few things, especially some front office positions and new coaching staff, trying some different things. But gosh, it seems like the Rams are almost taking over that bottom of the league thing. And I mean, I want them to do well, especially with the move to LA, but I just, for the life of me, I don't understand why Jeff Fisher's still the coach. And I don't understand some of the things the Rams are doing, including franchise tag Jermaine Jackson. Why wouldn't you just sign this guy? Now, this leads me to the last one that I'm going to talk about real quick, and that's Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker is going to make $4.5 million franchise tag. Not bad for a kicker. Now, I would say he's a top three, top four kicker, easy. I usually try to get him in fantasy because he just so money with his kicks. This actually ties into our Georgia State show a little bit later on tonight. That one will be at 9 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Former Georgia State Panther kicker Will Anyway, but he's up there right now. He's just in camp. I think he's just a camp leg for the most part. But he's currently up there. Gives Justin Tucker some competition as well because he can punt and kick. Actually, it's a roster spot that wanted to do it that way. And Justin Tucker is pretty upset that he can't get a long-term deal done. I agree. He should be able to get a – I mean, when you're that – I mean, Steve Gostkowski, there's a reason why he keeps getting re-signed for New England. He's one of the top kickers in the league every year. Justin Tucker, same way. And yet he's being treated like a second-class citizen, pretty much. I mean, really, it's ridiculous. As I said earlier, that's right. I want to get it all right. His agent, Rob Roche, made clear that he would not play for the Ravens in 2017 without a long-term deal by Friday. Pretty much, he's upset with the process, and now I can't. He's nothing but make big kicks for them in a time when they've been down. They actually needed You know, they've actually needed solidarity because they've been trying to rebuild this team. Joe Flacco's still been doing well. But, I mean, last year they had almost every receiver on their team down. Will Lutz, newest name that comes in. Will Lutz is a great kicker out of Georgia State that's up there right now. Do I think he'll replace Justin Tucker? I don't know. But Baltimore is one of the few teams that have the kicking coach on the coaching staff. So either way, we're going to be sitting there in pretty good shape. And as far as Justin Tucker goes, I mean, I agree with you. Signed for $4.5 million. If they don't want to work out anything long-term by Friday, after next season, leave. Straight up leave. Can't blame you there. Then, look, two more things, and I'm going to get into the big topics. We'll talk about those real quick, and we'll get out of here. Bengals-Steelers rivalry. These two teams, they're like neighborhood rivals or something. Not like a gang or nothing like that. But every time the Steelers and Bengals play, there's usually fighting or bloodshed or just really crazy things. All kinds of crazy things can happen. They met in the playoffs last year where Antonio Brown got just destroyed by a hit to the head. You know, Pac-Man Jones said a few things about it. And Joey Porter coming on the field actually caused the penalty that caused the whole thing. And it's just back and forth. Straight up, the Steelers are the front runner this year. At least to me, and at least at this point, we're going to do a team-by-team breakdown, you know, in the next month or so before the season starts. But as of right now, the absolute runaway favorite for the Super Bowl is the Steelers. To me, all they have to do is get through New England in the playoffs, and I think they'll be fine. They're already better than pretty much everybody on the other side. The other side will pretty much be Seattle, Green Bay, because they have a cake schedule and a solid team. Maybe Carolina, but they're already better than them. They have an unreal attack. What can the Bengals do with them? I don't know if they can. But this rivalry is going to heat up. It's already heated up to a point now. They're already trash-talking each other, and we haven't even started training camp. So, you know, keep your eyes on the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh rivalry, and let's just hope it stays clean this time. Then the last little tidbit I want to get into is there is an emerging favorite to sign quality veteran receiver Anquan Boldin. I like Anquan Boldin because he does what a receiver should do. He tries to catch the ball every time. He doesn't stop running a route. He's a very possession receiver. He's still got some speed. The Saints are actually the favorites to sign him. So you're telling me that in their reclamation and reformation project, Drew Brees had the potential to be throwing to Anquan Boldin? That suddenly makes them a little bit bigger threat than they were. And I applaud it. If the Saints are going to sign Anquan Boldin, then absolutely, you do it and you don't let him out of the building. And I'll look forward to seeing you guys here in Atlanta. I mean, that would be a spectacular hire from them. And after we get back from the break, talk a little Jaguars, and then we'll get into some big topics. I'm Jeremy, the Impact York. We will see you guys after the break.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're on the Jaguars Zone. Jeremy the Impact York, thanks for joining us. Now, things that I think you need to know from the Jaguars. Now, they announced their 2016 training camp days, their schedules. And I'm going to go over it with you a little bit here. Let's see. July 29th, 30th, and 31st. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can catch them. Let's see. These are details on more than 10 practices that will be free and open to the fans. All the public dates take place at the practice fields that are next to Everbank. You guys know this. If you're going to attend, you should register in advance online. It will make it a lot easier. That is jaguars.com/training camp practices. jaguars.com/training camp practices. The open dates, that's the ones I just told you about. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that'd be July 29th, 30th, and 31st. The following Tuesday, Wednesday, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that would be August 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Actually, August 5th is going to be a scrimmage. Monday, August 8th, and Tuesday, August 9th. Wednesday, August 17th is going to be a dual practice with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Thursday's practice will also be, August 18th, will also be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Once again, make sure that, you know, video cameras are strictly prohibited. Horns, whistles, other noisemakers. So just use your vocal cords. It'll be just loud enough. Jaguars defensive assistant, Monty Kiffin. Monty Kiffin, that great Monty Kiffin. A lot of stuff with the Buccaneers back in the day, but he's probably one of the best defensive players in the history of the league. Along with Denver's Wade Phillips, they've been selected as part of the class of 2016 for the Paul Dr. Z. Zimmerman Award, Professional Football Writers of America. He's given for a lifetime achievement as an assistant coach in the NFL. The award is named for Mr. Zimmerman, who covered the NFL for 29 years as Sports Illustrated's lead football writer. Kiffin, who is 76, is entering his 50th year of coaching, with 20 years of NFL experience and 21 collegiate ranks. Kiffin was hired by the Jaguars as the team's defensive assistant on March 21st. That's absolutely fabulous. I say I like Monty Kiffin. His son is Lane Kiffin. Yes, that Lane Kiffin. Monty Kiffin can come up with some of the best schemes and just some amazingly awesome things. Now, I did think it cool that all three, of course, the Miami Dolphins, all three Florida teams, the Miami Dolphins, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, banded together along with the National Football League Foundation, and they lended support in all kinds of different ways for the victims, families, and the survivors of the tragic event in Orlando. They raised over $400,000 to the One Orlando Fund. So definitely kudos on that. So Derek Marks is very happy with the defensive tackles on the team. He said, quote, "Man, we've got some horses for sure," unquote. I agree. Let me read you off some of these guys. Of course, you have him, sitting there. You got Roy Miller, an 8-year veteran. Avery Jones, Malik Jackson. Of course, he can play a lot of different places. Sheldon Day, the Miracle Mike Bennett, and Richard Ash. All these guys are more than capable of playing. Now, here's an interesting scenario. For the most part, SEC and Big Ten dominate the defensive tackle market for Jacksonville. I don't know if it's on purpose or not. The exception, Roy Miller's from Texas, and Sheldon Day is from Notre Dame, who decides to be independent even though they might as well be ACC. But just those general areas, because Richard Ash is from Western Michigan, Michael Bennett is Ohio State, and then you get Malik Jackson from Tennessee, Avery Jones from Georgia, and to Derek Marcus from Auburn. Those are some stout defenders here, each one of them. At least 6'1 to 6'2-ish, and every one of them are either a biscuit shy or a biscuit above. It's got to be Cracker Barrel biscuits. Above 300. They all right around 300, which is a good size, and they got a lot of speed as well. But another position that is pretty deep that they have. See, they actually signed Joppo Bartu, which we talked about last week on Falcon Zone. Not that they signed him, but that he's a former Falcon. That the Falcons wish they would have re-signed him, but they didn't. But Joppo Bartu, these are all the outside linebackers. Got Tyrone Holmes, Sean Porter, Jordan Tripp, Bjorn Werner. These are some stout guys as well. Besides Porter, who's 6'1", everybody else is 6'2 or better, right around the 250. Man, these guys can fly, too. Man, can they fly. Just absolutely unreal. They're monsters. But pretty much, practice days are coming up. Go in there and register and, you know, do your best. Try to show up some of these and support the team and show them that you're behind them.
Missed it by that much.
Actually, we didn't miss it. We're getting into the big topics right now. We got three big ones tonight. We'll start with Tom Brady and Deflategate. Is it almost over? We think. That's the main question people ask. Is this thing still going, or is it almost over? It's getting close. A federal court just yesterday rejected the appeal of the 4-game suspension of Tom Brady. Well, what can be done? He really has one play left. That play is to take this to the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, this is why this whole thing is important. It's the same thing I was saying with the Von Miller thing. It's about the players having some say in what's going on in the NFL, not having absolute power, which is exactly what it looks like, that they have absolute power. The NFLPA doesn't want the NFL to have the definite power over players to just go, oh, well, you got caught doing this, or you did this. Here's 2 games for you. Here's 4 games for you. They did the same thing. For one, even if Brady is guilty, I've never seen proof that he is or he isn't. I've seen more that he is than he actually did it. It would be doctoring a football is a equipment violation. It's an equipment violation. It'd be like Blake Bortles wearing purple wristbands when they're not team colors. It'd be a fine. It'd be like Matt Ryan having one sock come up to his knee and the other one down at his ankle. An equipment violation. Those are only fines. They're trying to get all this stuff on top of that and everything. This is important, though. Because if the NFL is able to just kind of fabricate all this without a whole lot of proof and have Tom Brady miss this time, if they can get one of the most prominent, popular players in the league, they can get anybody. Maybe they wake up one day and say, you know what? I don't like that there's an apostrophe in Derek Mark's name. We're going to find some reason to get him suspended for 3 games. Am I saying the NFL purposely targets people? I don't have any proof of that. This looks real fishy, though. Like I said, we're talking about an equipment violation. Equipment violation. This would be like if you had to serve 3 years in prison for going 45 and a 35. Just goofy. It's absolutely goofy. Or for jaywalking or something. Oh, here's a 7-year sentence for jaywalking. It's like, what? That's not the punishment for that crime. Now, if it's like the 3,000th time you jaywalk, then okay, I could see them throwing a little bit heavier book at you. But now, I'm not going to tell a policeman how to do their job. I have nothing but respect for them. I have a lot of friends that are police officers of all different counties, cities, states, everything. So more power to you guys for doing your job. And you know you have my support. But back to this. we can't let the NFL think they're invincible. I mean, it needs to balance for a point. The NFL should be able to say, okay, this violation means this, this violation means this, you guys agree to this, collectively bargain, all that kind of stuff. Problem is they've changed a few things here and there to where the collective bargaining agreement, or CBA, doesn't cover everything. But the players, when they go to negotiate these CBAs, have been arguing for all these other things. So they don't necessarily, you got to pick your battles. You can't try to get six things passed because you have to give up something to get something. So the owners might say, well, we want a bigger cut of the shared money. And, you know, we'll do what we can to take some of the power away from Goodell. Not a very good deal. Or maybe the owners, let's see, maybe the owners want to start testing for PEDs. And the players say, nah, if we test for PEDs, then we need a balance on the other side of some kind. Maybe we need a bigger cut of the shared revenue. This thing's going to have to be settled. Good luck to Tom Brady because I want the players to win this. It's not the first load of any owners. I have the utmost respect for you guys. It's a very hard job on top of what all the players do. But by far, we all need to be on Team Brady on this one because if they take down Brady, they can take down anybody. Now, this could actually benefit the Patriots. Of course it can. It's Bill Belichick, and it's Robert Kraft who knows Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. Here's how I could help him. This is going to showcase Jimmy Garoppolo for 4 weeks. So let's say three of those four games he plays out of his mind. We're talking Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn gets one game at the end of a Green Bay season. He gets an unreal contract from Seattle, never plays it down because Russell Wilson goes to Oakland, gets another contract. Got like four or five contracts in like a couple years, all based off one game. So if Garoppolo can come out and have two or three good games out of four, even solid games. They ain't got to be, you know, 500 yards in the air, seven touchdowns. They're like, no, you're talking like two or three touchdowns, little to no interceptions, making smart decisions, maybe 250 on the yardage. You know, play a very smart but slightly aggressive game. Well, then this allows the Patriots to possibly flip him for a first-round pick, the one they lost for Deflategate so far. Because a lot of people think Jacoby Brissett could be the next franchise guy after Brady's gone anyway. Maybe it is Garoppolo as well, but a lot of people within the organization, it's kind of been known Jacoby Brissett is a big-time quarterback. So we'll have to see what happens. I said, I'm Team Brady. You guys should be Team Brady. I understand if you're not. Not everybody's a fan of him. But you got to be a fan of the players to me in this argument because the NFL doesn't need absolute power. Moving on. I told you earlier, the Andrew Luck contract directly benefits the Jaguars more than it does the Colts. Now, the contract is a five-year, $139 million contract, 87 of which is guaranteed. He is currently the highest paid, I believe, in the league. Highest paid quarterback, probably player too. Last year, so far in his career, he has 14,838 passing yards, has 101 touchdowns. Oh, yeah, and he also missed a handful of games last year because the offensive line couldn't stop a birdbath. Now, at least kind of the contract, a lot of people are like, you don't pay people for the future, you don't pay people for the present, or you don't pay them for the past, and people jump all over it. Here's what owners and team CEOs and GMs think about this kind of stuff. It's about paying for the future. And it's about not having to go find another good quarterback. Now, in this case, Andrew Luck has a pretty high ceiling. There's a good chance he could be possibly an Elway-type player or something like that, a big-time guy to lead the league in a lot of stuff, you know, a big future guy. So paying all this money is to make sure that not only he doesn't want to leave and to show him the proper respect for the things he's done so far and hopefully the things he'll do for them, But it's also so that they don't have to go through the draft or go find people on a waiver wire or try to trade. It's to make sure that you don't have to find another quarterback. Because, I mean, how many people in this league are better than Andrew Luck? A handful. You probably count them on one hand. And how many of those are younger than 35? Exactly. Probably maybe one still on your list. Probably Russell Wilson, maybe Cam Newton. But last time I checked, Seattle and Carolina are not necessarily going to let go of those quarterbacks. So if you have an Andrew Luck or a Matt Ryan or a Joe Flacco, an Andy Dalton, you know, Carson Palmer, you try to groom the guy in behind him, but you hang on to that horse for as long as he is moving his legs. You can worry about it later when he decides not to or decides to walk away from the race, but until that time comes, you keep him there. You know, this reminds me, though, because it brings up Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. They got these big contracts, but it handcuffed. I'm doing cuffs today for some reason. It really held down their franchise. They didn't have enough money to go around. Drew Brees gets all this money that eats up the salary cap. They have to let, you know, they have to get Jimmy Graham out of town. And part of it was money. They have to let Reggie Bush leave. They have to let all these other players that have contributed and done good things for them. They had to let pass rushers go that are really good because they can't afford to pay them. You're only allowed X amount of dollars, and if you spend a quarter of it on one player, well, it kind of makes it hard to pay the rest of them. So I said, Drew Brees there, Aaron Rodgers, it's kind of hurt them being able to re-sign some people, and he's probably due another contract in the next couple of years. Russell Wilson will get one in a couple more years, another one. But see, look at that team. I mean, they still got Cam Chancellor, still got Richard Sherman. Beast mode left. Not because they couldn't pay him, but he left. They couldn't keep all those amazing defensive backs they had because there wasn't enough money. That's why one of them left and he goes to the Eagles. There's only so many dollars. Now, the Jaguars will have to deal with this similar scenario with Blake Bortles in a couple years. I don't think it'll be as astronomical, but the quarterback market, as I said with Kirk Cousins, Bortles is probably going to be due somewhere around $20 million, 16, 17, 18 at minimum. I'd probably say 17 is an absolute stretch of a minimum. Shad Khan knows this. Start to see, they spent a lot of money this offseason, but start to see if they start trying to make some room to extend his contract in the next few years. You'll see it. It'll be little subtle things here and there, a guy let go or a restructuring of a contract. It's when they're getting ready to pay Blake, you're going to know it. Now, I also said that this contract with Andrew Luck directly benefits the Jags more than it does the Colts. Well, that's the exact reason why. It's going to tie up so much money, the Colts aren't going to be able to sign some of the bigger guys they need to or re-sign those guys. So now the Colts are going to come down a partial peg, which gives all three other teams in the division, including Jacksonville, Houston, and Tennessee, are all getting a little bump up because the Colts aren't going to have the talent level they used to have. They're going to have to, you know, it's a give and take. They're going to have to go down somewhere. They're going to have to take a little bit. Think about a video game. When you create your fighter or create your gunner in a war game, or you're souping up your character, you get 100 hit points. Now, hit points for people that don't play video games are the amount of attribute points you're allowed to use on a given character. Say you have, let's do four, so it's going to be easier. You have four categories. Doesn't matter what those four are. But you have 100 points, so you could go 25 across the board. You could bump a little here or there and, you know, go 30-30-30-10, all kinds of different ways you could play with this. Well, in this scenario, about 35 or 40 of those hit points are on one category. So the other three have to split the rest up. It's going to leave you really weak in some areas. Hopefully ones that the Jaguars can exploit. Like I said, when Blake's contract comes up, for one, the cap will be a little higher. I think they'll be okay. They've been able to restructure. They're going to have to pay A-Rob at some point as well. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But for now, I'm glad for Andrew Luck. Not only did he get paid, but the Colts are not going to be as good as people think or thought they were to start with. And I think we're going to be able to sting them. I think we're going to be able to possibly both games. Who knows? I think we're going to take at least one from them. I think we're going to beat Tennessee both times. And I think we can beat Houston twice, if not once. So 4-2 in the division, possibly 5-1. I could see that. That's definitely going to help us. It's going to put us closer to the playoffs. If you can beat your division, then you can typically win your division, which puts you in the playoffs. I think it's very possible. Plus, if we can get 4 wins just in the division, 4 or 5 more across the league, shouldn't be that hard. And then you're in the playoffs. If you win 8, 9, 10 games, you're going to put yourself right in the hunt every time. Especially in this division, 8 wins may win the whole thing. Who knows? That brings me to the last big thing I want to get to. And that, of course, the debate has been brought up among a lot of family, friends, people on NFL Network, people across other venues as well. Who is the top edge rusher? My question is, what criteria are we using? But I'm going to tell things I like to look at, speed, or especially the list I've come across, speed, mobility, effectiveness, sack total, and the scheme they're in, you know, those sorts of things. Right now, given the 4 names that I have written down here, I'm going to put them in order from top to bottom. Of course, I got to say Von Miller. He is the reigning Super Bowl MVP. He is the best, probably, defender in the league right now. You got to put J.J. Watt next by a very slim margin. Number 3 has to be Khalil Mack out of Oakland. Man, that guy is so much fun to watch. And the only if he had played more than 1 year up to this point, he might be slightly closer to J.J. Watt. Which leads me to Dante Fowler Jr. of the Jaguars. And I'm not just saying this is a Jaguars show. I actually believe once Fowler gets on the field that he's going to turn into a Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt, Von Miller type. I don't even care if he leads the league, but if he's solid – can really be aggressive and really get some push there on the back end, then I think the sky's the limit. I think we're going to be absolutely great with our pass rush. If you look at those things I mentioned, speed, mobility, effectiveness, sack total, scheme, that's pretty much how they run out. There's a good chance Von Miller may not play this year. If he doesn't, then I think Khalil Mack could pass J.J. Watt on this list. Dante Fowler would be right on their heels. I'm waiting to see him on a field, and I can't wait. It's going to be fun. It's a great time to be a Jaguars fan. It's always a good time to be a Jaguars fan, but it's a great time. This team is on the up and up. Got a lot of playmakers. Went out and spent some money. Have drafted well. We're going to get to see what Gus's system actually can do. It's going to be a lot of fun. But that's going to do it for me this week. Appreciate everybody joining us in the Jaguars Zone here on Blog Talk Radio. Appreciate Impact Media allowing us to come on every 3 weeks currently. We'll, as the season gets here, it'll be every week, of course, to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm being told BattleBox is on in 4.5 minutes. For everybody that wants to watch that, please, I'm not even sure what channel that's on. It'll probably be on the studio. If you're close to the studio, drop by and watch BattleBox. We'll be hanging out here. Well, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys in 3 weeks. Go Jaguars!
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?